This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Hey now, it's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105 Through the Fan. We have breaking NFL news, and then we're going to get into this Jerry Jones audio. He talked about the pursuit of Jamal Adams, what Bennett brings to the table, and more this morning with the KNC Masterpiece. News is, though, Josh Gordon picked up on waivers by the Seahawks. That means that the Cowboys had an opportunity to get Josh Gordon, decided to not take it, and now we'll keep our fingers crossed that Pete Carroll and his West Coast hippie magic doesn't coax Josh Gordon into being the best version of himself.
I tell you what, it's a fun landing spot. Now, this is assuming there's a reason that 27 teams passed on him, and it's because they don't think that he'll be on the field for all these games and that you've got enough going on with your own team to have to worry about something else. But just in your Madden picture, you now have DK Metcalf, the big old monster from Ole Miss, basically DK Metcalf named Josh Gordon and Tyler Lockett.
Mm.
That's fun. If Pete Carroll ever started throwing the ball, that would be the best offense in football.
Well, it's so dynamic when they do decide to throw the ball because it often surprises the defense.
Oh my God, they're letting Russ throw.
And he is so good at it, making big plays down the field. So, I'm not as far as Mike is, but I'm pretty convinced that while Josh Gordon will make a run at it, and I'm pulling for him as a professional and as a human, I think at this point it's highly unlikely that he's going to be able to make a great run at it. But who knows? Sometimes people struggle with things and then they figure something out. They meet the right guy. Pete Carroll is into all that culture and, letting guys be themselves and all that. And maybe that'll be the environment that allows Josh Gordon to, be more consistently available for his team. But I this is going that, on 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, I just think if you're another team in the NFL, you just have to hope the three games that Josh Gordon plays for the Seahawks, you're not one of those three matchups. But
yeah.
You have about a 70% chance of not facing him the rest of the way.
Okay, so we'll stay on that story. There's probably a discussion to be had. Did the Cowboys screw up? And maybe we'll ask our guest Babe Laufenberg about that coming up at 5:20. If you're the quarterback, would you have been thinking, guys, we could have had Josh Gordon for $100,000 a game?
Just selfishly, as a talent hoarder who likes watching football, I would have loved for them to put in a claim, but I think they're just happy with what they have, and they've got Randy Gregory over here that they're dealing with in whatever way they're dealing with it. It's like, guys, it's not for us.
We're not good in this department. We try to convince ourselves we're good and we're going to put the player in a great position to overcome and all that. But the track record for the Cowboys with these kinds of players is I would say, below average.
Apparently the Seahawks are amazing, though, because that's Washington, and that's where all the weed is at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that.
Like, anybody can just go get some weed.
He gets eliminated from the possibility of being arrested for marijuana that can put you on the cops' radar. So there's at least one way that he won't get in trouble, where maybe other states he could. I mean, but you have several now. What, California, Washington, Denver,
D.C.,
Colorado, D.C. There's, at least a handful of these types of spots around the league that I'm sure some players don't mind being sent to. Okay, Jerry Jones with KNC Masterpiece every Friday at 10:30 here on 105.3 The Fan. Funny exchange off the top. Corey had a Halloween question in mind, but I don't think that's what Jerry heard.
Did you take care of that sweet tooth last night?
Excuse me?
With Halloween. It was Halloween, Jerry. Did you get any good Halloween candy?
Hey, I got everything I wanted for Halloween. I've been a good boy, but that doesn't count on Halloween, does it?
Okay, doesn't count on Halloween. Yeah,
he thought he just asked him about the bedroom situation.
I believe so.
Excuse me.
I think that's how Jerry Jones interpreted it. Like, man, are you asking me about?
Did you see me?
What I think you're asking about?
Are you at the window?
Yeah, there was kind of I don't know if it was a guilty expression, but maybe a little bit of suspicion. Like, holy cow!
You've been watching me.
How do you guys have this level of information? I don't know if I know what I was getting into when I agreed to continue my weekly with KNC here.
I'm going to keep my thoughts to myself.
Okay.
Hey, turn around, Mike.
Next question.
Okay. Can you talk a little bit about the pursuit of Jamal Adams?
Adams became certainly what is known is known. Ironically, right now, discussion of Adams could easily get you in a tampering situation. And so you're really not going to be able to talk about him or the aspects of the trade or the potential trade. And if you think about it, it makes sense. You've got tampering in the NFL, and you can't talk about another club's player, and he certainly is the Jets player. So we won't spend a lot of time with him, but I'll say this. The coverage of it has been pretty accurate in terms of what kind of interest that we showed and had in him. And we obviously were trying to utilize our consideration, which in this case were draft picks. We were trying to use it to help the Cowboys better than we could have used the same picks in the draft. Good luck to him as a person and as a player. He's a local guy from Texas, and we're all proud of what he's doing in the NFL. But apart from that, we did look at other positions, but for the most part, that safety position was the one that got the most attention, and it was buying through Adams.
Okay, so I do think he used the opportunity to love up on Adams a little bit, but being safe about the
because it's not done yet,
the whole tampering thing. But then he talked about safety there at the end, like it was the majority of our focus was on that position. And I was actually listening, basically on radio DVR. You know, we have that radio.com app, and you can listen to all of our radio stations, and of course the Fan is on there. And so I got in the truck late and hadn't gotten a chance to hear the interview. So I rewinded the thing. And when I heard that, I thought, holy cow, this is a pretty clear sign that something about their valuation of just the safety position in general has changed. Because Steven told us it was more about an elite player at that position. But to hear from Jerry there, maybe there were other people involved, and maybe an upgrade at safety is amongst their top priorities at the next window of opportunity to get to address it.
Well, I think it's become such a passing league, and it goes more and more that direction that even your strong safety is no longer like, hey, you're the guy who's free to come tackle the running back. It's now a lot of times you're going to cover a tight end, or you have a zone, or you've got a running back to cover. And the guys that we think of as sort of your prototypes who are just that thumper who are going to be like, hey, he sets the physical tone. Well, now you're not just setting the physical tone. You better be able to cover Christian McCaffrey coming out of the backfield. Like there's an interesting teeter-totter with positional value going on in the league. And I think linebacker and safety.
Linebacker just exploded.
Right, yeah. Because they're asked to do so much more than they used to.
It's more of that spread. You have more guys coming out of the backfield, different kind of tight ends. And it's the blending of the positions. And we're watching it in basketball in a major way where everybody's a 6'6", small forward, either point guard version or 2 inches taller and you're a center. and in football, that's what Gary Patterson thought out there at TCU as he was trying to defend those exotic defenses all those years was, let's get a bunch of guys who can either cover or tackle really well.
I remember before they got good reading the story where what Gary Patterson would do is he would recruit in the state of Texas the running backs who didn't get interest from the bigger schools than them, and he would just get the really good athletic running backs, then tell them to eat and play them at defensive end.
Wow.
He's like, I'm just looking for guys to go get the quarterback. You can do it.
Wow, okay. So, yeah, the evolution of the sport, and it feels like this one's happening quick. So maybe it's just that the Cowboys are watching positions they've historically devalued become more and more important as they're trying to put together game plans.
Hey, like I've said, and we'll get to the draft obviously a lot later, and hopefully there is a nice playoff run. But, man, if you want to make a major impact in the draft as you're struggling to hit lately on some guys, boy, that one technique and a safety, if they're there and your board sets up close to right where it's like, oh, my gosh, this one technique guy, yeah, I get it. You don't like it, and you don't want to pay those guys. But, man, can that guy have a major impact right now if you draft one who's good? You don't have to sign him to a long-term forever contract. Just have him for 5 years.
Yeah, totally, especially right now. And a guy that could help immediately would absolutely be huge. So, apparently, they were probably looking at their draft and how things are probably going to fall and what positions are there. And they were probably had a really good quantified decision to look at, like, here's what Adam's going to bring and here's what we could get with picks 1 and 2. And, you know, it's hard to say this far out, but it kind of sounds like the Cowboys were projecting it last year on the Amari Cooper decision. It wouldn't surprise me if that information was on board this year. What other needs were you looking at? Here was cut 3 from Jerry with KNC.
Well, we looked at defensive line, and of course, it culminated in getting Bennett. But losing Tyron Crawford really was unfortunate for him and for us. We hope his recovery is as good as we think it can be. But still, that and plus the opportunity to really have a player available such as Bennett was just a propitious thing for us. And so as witnessed by the fact, how many times do you don't have a player 1 week and you've got him lining up against the division opponent the next week, New York Giants. So Bennett's going to help us out, and he's a great addition on and off the field.
Okay, so more on that. How does Jerry describe Michael Bennett's personality? Here's Cut 4.
Oh, I think he's a positive. He's got what I would call a competitive football personality, and it shows. A lot of guys can have personality, but it doesn't show up out on the football field, but he's got it in every way you want to have it in a positive way. So I would say he's very interesting, very, I think, adds to, football is certainly a physical game, and it's important to have where you can get it. If you've got a player that has some unique personality to go with that, it helps you get through those dog days, the dog day part of practice, near the end when the going gets tough. It's good to have some interest in there, and he certainly qualifies for that.
All right, good stuff there from Jerry Jones on their new acquisition. Michael Bennett makes his Cowboy debut Monday night right here on The Fan. Okay, how about we jump down here? During the bye week, did anything happen here? Dak Prescott, there was news this week that maybe his ask has come down to $33 to $35 million. And what's going on with Amari Cooper? Have you guys made contract progress here during the bye?
I always think that there is a movement one way or the other, even though there's not a technical movement. And I like to think that when I look at our entire contract issue regarding players, I think we move the needle in a positive direction, which is getting things done. I think we moved that needle this week. Yes, we're continually doing that. We do it year-round. This isn't necessarily weeks that we are our busiest weeks regarding player contract, but they certainly are times that you can get things done. Of course, it goes without saying, when you bring a new player on like Bennett, you've done some contract work.
All right, there he is. Jerry Jones, Cowboys owner, joins us twice a week here on 105.3 The Fan.
It's a little surprising that the Dak deal hadn't already been done, whether it was before the season or the bye week or whatever, because it seems like, I guess that's just credit to Dak trusting his people, because I know if it were me or a lot of different people, when they put that offer in front of you and the signing bonus number, you're like, all right, I've been doing this for almost 4 years. I've made this much. And that check there, 50, 60, whatever millions it is, where it's the signing bonus, it's like, huh.
Yeah.
Call my agent back, like, you sure we don't like this?
Yeah.
That goes in the bank today.
I'm ready to go. But I do think it speaks to the level of focus from both Dak and Amari that they both seem to truly be completely compartmentalizing it. They're not bothered by, what might be ups and downs of negotiations. I think that's a really good sign, because if you're just motivated by the money, you can't get it out of your mind, I feel like, when a contract's coming up. But the guys that are playing the game because they want to be great or they have a high priority for being part of something bigger than themselves, they have an easier time, from my experience, kind of putting that to the side and letting the agent deal with it. So, but yeah, I am surprised because the reports that the ask has come down, I don't know if he's come far enough. And to hear Mickey talk about it with KNC today, I feel like the Cowboys have numbers in their mind and they're not budging, They're like, we can just go to the franchise tag if you guys want to play it out this way. And more, I believe that card's going to get played. And guys like Dak and Amari will have another big decision to make. Are you going to be willing to just play out on the franchise tag or the transition tag? Because the Cowboys know what the number is that they want to keep all of these guys too, so the big picture falls into place. And they're not willing to budge off that, at least not yet. I'm sure they would budge off it if Dak took the franchise tag twice. You know,
yeah, and then you start getting nervous.
Yeah, then you're like, oh, crap, he's really going to play it all the way down to the end.
I mean, okay. What if if he doesn't show up to training camp, he's going to get what he wants. I mean, I just
think. Oh, for sure. Yeah. If he ever wanted to play that card works.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you ever held out, you get paid.
Yeah. And when's it's August 15th, the day where the negotiating is done and the franchise tag is locked in, essentially.
Something like that.
That would be a quite a opening 2.5 weeks of training camp if they do go there. Okay, more on this. Cowboys Twitter, a look at upcoming Cowboys free agents. Is this as good as it will get with a key position group? That's next in the nation. Okay, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It's time for some Cowboys Twitter. Top tweets going viral about America's team, from America's team, from the players of America's team. Segment's brought to you by DFW Airport Parking, and it's brought to you by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the office of Frankel & Frankel, 214-333-3333. Official lawyers of the Tolo there, frankelfirm.com. Principal office, Dallas, Texas. Okay, everything good here. We're heading into a weekend. We'll talk about the other big games you need to know about coming up a little bit later on around the NFL at 4:40. How about we go to Cowboys Twitter and Clarence Hill from the Star Telegram. Cowboys defensive tackle Tristan Hill was doing extra conditioning after practice, asked Rod Marinelli if it was mandated. He smiled and said he can always be in better condition.
It's that old school punishment. I was not a stranger to that. Everybody else gets to go into the locker room, and you get to hang out for a while.
We're getting a pretty good picture on this, aren't we? It's coming. The frame's getting in the picture pretty good. Do you think they maybe regretted babying Taco Charlton and telling him everything is fine, don't listen to the haters, you got the right stuff, and now this time, halfway through the season, they got a rookie who's really struggling and maybe not showing the best work ethic, and they're putting the hammer down on him? What do you think?
I think a little bit. I think they probably do. They have to look at themselves after, 2 years and go, what went wrong with Taco Charlton? Was it just all of the scouts that were wrong? Did we do anything wrong to get this attitude from him? Because I'm sure a lot of the coaching staff didn't see this attitude coming with Taco. And look, he's doing fine in Miami, but I'm sure they're looking at it going, if we do the same thing, if we're seeing some similar personality traits with Tristan Hill and we do the same things with him, will we end up with the same product that we got from Taco?
You know, and I wasn't inside those meetings and whatever happened with Taco, but it sure seemed like a guy that was entitled to be a starter from the time that he walked in and didn't want to work hard and really bristled at any sort of suggestion that he wasn't a first-round worthy talent who should be ascending very, very quickly. And I don't think what's happened in Miami so far is going to change his opinion on things.
No. Isn't it kind of weird to you guys that, like, Tank Lawrence is a leader on that defense and seems like he's not afraid to speak his mind. And we don't know what happens behind closed doors, but outwardly, he was always really positive about Taco.
Yeah.
Even when he's gone, he's like, yep, that's my hot boy brother. Excited that he's still out there playing great. Like,
yeah.
He was never great.
No. No, it is. It's a really interesting story. Now, specifically with Tristan Hill, I'm really glad they're taking this approach because I saw a guy in college who could be really, really explosive when he got his body in the right position to be effective and the motor was going and all that. But I was kind of disappointed when he showed up and talked to us in Oxnard, how doughy like his upper arms and shoulder area was.
Yeah.
I was like, man, that's like an offensive lineman's upper body. So I don't know if, diet or cardio is anything, but he was getting extra work in the conditioning department in the portions of today's practice that media was able to watch. Okay, how about we go to the Twitter account of Michael Strawn here at Life in Charts. He's a pro football focused type of guy. He says, I just watched Brian Billick tell me the Cowboys rank fourth in the NFL in rushing, but 13th in attempts. And what they need to do is reverse those numbers by running the ball more.
No! He
was a fairly successful NFL coach, but that's about the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Wow.
I mean, that's old school, right?
Yeah.
Even when, at the Super Bowl, we were talking to we talked to Billick.
We did.
But we also talked to Charlie Weiss, and like that's sort of the old school football mindset where you're establishing something there. It's a mentality, and it opens other things up, and now you've got the nerds who have kind of kicked that wall down and been like, well, here's how we can prove that you're not right. But it's just that mindset.
Yeah, and we don't want to take the ball out of Zeke's hands. I think for me, I just want like a 50-50 split on first down. Everything else they're doing with play calling tendencies, I'm totally all right with right now. Just leave the defense guessing a little bit more. When you're running 70% of the time, some of those guys are going to be tempted just to shoot those gaps. And if that happens at the wrong time in the game, then you're toast. You're punting.
We just need to find teams that care as much as we do about defensive tackle. Then we can run for 250 yards a game.
No doubt, man. Okay, we go to the account of John Machota. He was listening earlier as we were talking with Stephen Jones there about 255. As many members of Cowboys Twitter keep it locked on 105.3 The Fan. He was live tweeting it on rookie defensive tackle Tristan Hill. Has to step up and continue to get better. We're ultimately going to need him because, as we all know, we can't sign everybody. That's
about Malik Collins.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, there's a lot of pressure on you because you were drafted that a year from today we can let a starter go who's a solid starter. That we can let him go because the middle class can't get paid when the upper class is getting paid. So we have to let you go, and that's your job.
Yeah.
And so far this year, when you appear to be a guy that can't play NFL football, it becomes alarming.
Yeah.
That's what hurts you in team building is, okay, I picked this guy. He's going to replace that guy. And then that year passes, and you go, uh-oh, that guy can't replace that guy.
Yeah.
Now we got to spend another pick. Now we got to spend more money. That's the big negatives when you're trying to build a team.
I think the Cowboys are getting to a point now they're projecting into the future, and they're thinking, okay, is if we pay Byron Jones and Amari and Dak, here are the guys we're not going to be able to keep around. Tyrone Crawford, Robert Quinn, Michael Bennett, Malik Collins. So we need Tristan Hill. I think the sense of urgency for the coaching staff is massive as far as we can't let this be a miss. Maybe he's not going to be a star for us, but holy cow, we have to have a serviceable player out of here. And you know, maybe that's why you have being sent home, extra conditioning work. We have to start now if we're going to get anything from Tristan Hill in 2020. The morning news kind of tweeted about this as well. A restructured contract means Michael Bennett will join several Cowboys defensive linemen as free agents in 2020. And this is going to be back into the era of trying to where they were when they harvested Antoin Woods or George Selvey or Nick Hayden. You know, when you're up against the salary cap, and you don't draft well, those are the players now you got to pull off the street and put into your starting lineup. It's horrifying. Okay, here's more from John Machota, more quote from Rod Marinelli, and I hate to say it, but more on Tristan Hill. I don't really get disappointed. I look at the situation, and I want to improve the man. I've got a guy who is willing in all those things. I've got to help him and keep standards. There's no waiver with how we do business. And I love that. I do. I think Rod Marinelli, he believes in his players. He believes you can be great. And that's incredibly motivating and inspiring for players to hear a legendary coach like Rod Marinelli say, you can do it, and holding you to standards. I think that's needed right now, especially with a guy that's failing so bad. I wouldn't be surprised if Tristan Hill's in a mild state of depression with how bad things have gone for him.
Well, and
so
I think that's good leadership from Marinelli. For the guy who, you know, if a guy's been late to meetings and, like, we don't know what his work ethic is like, but Rod's essentially saying, like, hey, the guy has the want to, so he's doing his part. Now I've got to do my part and grow in the player and holding him to these standards. And it's like, we're not throwing the guy under the bus. I'll own it. Like, yeah, that's my player, and he wants to be great, and I've got to get him there. And so I think that's good leadership that – even if it's not, even if the real answer were, I don't know if he's really working hard enough and he's not on time.
Yeah.
Well, you spin it the way that protects your player. And now there's a time to not protect your players too.
Yeah.
But I think that's good leadership to be like, well, that's on me. And, you know, we're going to work on it. And he's doing his part. And I'm going to do my part. And we'll get there.
Yeah.
Until you've decided that there's a different motivating factor needed, then I think that's a great one.
And I laid it out yesterday, but another way to lay it out, and maybe Tristan Hill isn't the best case for this, is usually when you get to the professional level for most of these guys, it's the first time they're ever going to fail at this sport. For the most part, you were unbelievable in high school and you were recruited by a lot of colleges and you were probably really good in college. Maybe your freshman year, you struggled a little bit because you were 18, 19 versus some 21 and 22-year-olds, but if you became a draftable player, you probably weren't struggling as much as some of the other freshmen that never see the field their sophomore year either. So Tristan Hill might not perfectly fit in that category because he didn't go to a major college, but sometimes that first time dealing with failure is really tough.
What was it for you? Double A?
In low A ball.
Low A.
I went 4-14.
Wow.
That was my first full season. So I got drafted, made the all-star team in the App League my rookie year, and then went to my first full season, and my body at 19 was not prepared to throw every fifth day. It hurt all the time.
Mm.
And then after you lose, then you're dwelling on it because I never really lost.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden that next day would come up and I needed to get my work in, and I'd do my work, but I was thinking about all the negative things that happened. And the next thing I know, I'm on the mound again, not 100% because my body at 19 wasn't ready to do every fifth day.
Hmm.
And then have another bad game, backed up by another bad game. And the next thing you know, you're just feeling horrible about yourself because you've had four bad games in a row.
You shut them down the next year though, right?
Did made the all-star team the next year. They moved me up to high A ball, and I made the all-star team at a higher level.
Sweet. Calvin Watkins had a quote from Amari Cooper. "I'd prefer to wait until after the season," Cooper said. "There hasn't been much discussion regarding a new deal." So, yeah, it appears that Amari Cooper is very much in the mode of, no, we don't need to do a deal. You can give me exactly what I want, or we're going to keep waiting on this.
Well, I mean, for him, it makes all the sense in the world. I guess for Dak, in some ways, it does too. But with Amari Cooper, he's just looking around at the rest of the league, and Julio Jones just got paid, and Julio Jones moved up the market $3 million a year.
Michael Thomas, he's been the second best receiver. Amari has, like, statistically.
Yeah. So Michael Thomas got just over 19, and then Julio Jones turned around and got $22 million a year. Mm. So Amari Cooper's like, hey, if we're going to have other guys get signed, that's cool, because this may be pushing my bar to $20 million, that's where we're going to start. So for him, it makes all the sense in the world.
I think that's a real good goal for Amari Cooper, and I think he deserves it. You know what? You deserve a chance to win $1,000. Let's get it in right here, and then I'll get you a little bit more of Cowboys Twitter. It does pay to turn it on, leave it on. Each hour is part of our national contest. We're giving you a chance to win a grand. And the word for this hour is weekend. Text weekend to 72881. Okay, how about we go to Ian Rappaport here, a little around the NFL Twitter. Panthers quarterback Cam Newton hasn't played since mid-September. Sprained foot, not getting better. He hasn't done more than rehab on the side. The visit to Dr. Anderson in Green Bay is to learn why his condition is not improving. And a source said playing football is a long way off. So the decision for the Carolina Panthers gets easy. You know, we're not going to bring Cam back yet. And it's real tough. You know, even the consideration that he admitted to having about retirement is now becoming a significant discussion point because, you know, maybe Cam Newton would choose an Andrew Luck type of path if he believes that his body is broken down and he's rehabbing and trying to get back, but just can't make it.
I guess I could see that, yeah.
I mean, it's tough, and at some point, you know, you got to shut it down. That's what Andrew Luck decided to do. And I don't know, if you're the team, I think you'd probably be willing to roll with it for another year and a half, till his contract's up at least, but we'll see what Cam decides.
Well, Cam has... I can't speak for before I watched Football Weekly, but in my lifetime, there's never been a quarterback that's taken more punishment to his body than Cam Newton.
Yeah.
All of these runners that play quarterback, they teach him how to avoid contact and get down, but just because of his build and because of how he played in college and what got him picked number one overall, like, that's the way you were going to play.
Mm-hmm.
Is if I take away this part of your game, you're not a great quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But with this part of your game, you are a great quarterback. Which means there's going to be called runs. And on those called runs, Cam Newton's not like Kyler Murray last night would run for 8 yards and then literally sit down. He's like, I'm not getting hit. But Cam Newton spent his entire career not just taking those hits, but delivering those hits. His whole career.
And then there's the hits in the pocket that should get flagged.
Yes, and all of his non-flags.
Doug Peterson here around the NFL said he's optimistic DeSean Jackson will return for Bears and Eagles. Okay, I don't want to steal any more of the content. We are heading into week 9 of the NFL season, and Around the NFL is coming up next, so we'll get you caught up to speed on everything making significant headlines here on this Football Friday in the G-Bag Nation.
Did you know, shopping at Dallas Truck World, Southwest Kia, and Mesquite Mitsubishi, you work with a non-commissioned salesperson? How about that? Check them out today.
Yay, let's do it. Let's go around the NFL, brought to you by Windstar World Casino and Resort. Jeff's got a twofer here. He's going to knock it out of the park.
I do have a twofer. One is a quick reset, because I do believe it's one of the top sports stories of the day. But Josh Gordon, who was released from the Patriots, has gone through the waiver process. And we've got a winner. It's the Seattle Seahawks, which means that 27 teams passed on putting in a claim for Josh Gordon. I wonder if Green Bay would have claimed him if he got past Seattle. But Seattle is the team that claimed him, which to me makes that a really fun receiver group with a couple of clones. And somebody, after I said this earlier, did put up a picture of them side by side shirtless. And DK Metcalf and Josh Gordon is the most intimidating thing I've ever seen in a wide receiver twosome with their shirts off. And Tyler Lockett, the best receiver there. So they've got three really good receivers for Russell Wilson to throw to. And maybe that's the perfect landing spot.
Well, I do have a little bit of info here from Tom Curran of NBC Sports Boston.
What's he got?
He said the rumblings in New England about the team having problems with Gordon being late to meetings, coaches having a hard time locating him, and generally Gordon not displaying the kind of work ethic Bill Belichick demands.
That's a problem.
He was showing signs of undependability, and that was the reason they ultimately decided to cut a guy who'd played six games and had about 300 yards for him.
And they still, by waiting until after the trade deadline, tried to keep him away from a contender, but none of the bad teams claimed him, and it did get all the way to Seattle. So that part of the plan did not work out for the Patriots. But yeah, I guess none of that should be surprising as a eternal optimist who hopes for the best for everybody most of the time. It's like I'm hoping that Josh Gordon, like, hey, figured it out, and here, I'm going to go play football and be great and win all the football. But Mike's probably right. If you're a betting man, the odds are he's not going to make it through the season, and he probably won't play in the postseason. But for now, Josh Gordon is a Seattle Seahawk, and that's a really fun group.
He hasn't really had much of a good game. There were games last year. He had 5 for 130 against Green Bay for a touchdown, and he had, here I'm looking at, 4 catches for 100 yards versus Chicago. Those were his two games last year that he had 100 yards.
You got to go back 6 years to find the really good player.
I get what you're talking about with Josh Gordon, and he has 20 catches this year. It's not like he has zero catches, but he has not been, even though he made it, what, 12 games last year or 10? I didn't count the exact amount of games, but
he's a big old boy now, too.
He just hasn't had that big of an impact. Yeah.
He's not the same guy.
He catches balls. He's just a guy, right?
He's 28 years old. You know, he hasn't been consistently in football for a while. It'll be interesting to see if in Seattle they can, you know, find what it takes to put him in a better position to be consistent. But in New England, they're the most strict. In Cleveland, they were the most dysfunctional. So here's something more in the middle.
Yeah.
Who knows? I do think Pete Carroll represents the best shot he's got. Pete Carroll just let things happen.
I don't know if it's anything that people that it'll ever be a big topic in the world, but to think that when he was 22 years old and played 14 of 16 games with Brandon Whedon and Jason Campbell and led the league in receiving, God, what could that career have been? Josh Gordon could be one of the best receivers to ever take the field.
Yeah.
And we'll never know.
I know he didn't intentionally do it. So, I mean, he didn't, but
he's responsible for it.
It's his response. He ruined $100 million. I mean, that is a $100 million player that he threw away, smoked away, whatever you want to call it. And he just couldn't help himself and stay clean enough to get his $100 million by just being good at football.
Do you think it's possible that if he could just smoke weed, that everything would be okay?
I don't know him, but it seems like no. It seems like there's more to it than that to me.
It'd be really interesting. You know, if you're, you know, Randy Gregory or David Irving or Josh Gordon, what would happen if they're like, okay, we're not testing for this.
Well, didn't he have a drinking problem too?
Josh?
Yes. Yeah, I think he was drinking as well. Like, and I think he said substance abuse.
Yeah, he said other drugs too. Yeah. I remember when he did like a little mini documentary that I think he put out. He was talking about doing all sorts of stuff.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, he likes being on tilt.
Yeah, he likes to take it all the way.
Everybody's story is different, and every one of them is original. And I don't, you know, you don't know the root of his, because all of those are obviously symptoms. You don't know the root of his, but I hope he figures it out.
Yeah,
I hope he does, and everybody else in the world.
Alrighty,
that's not going to happen, but
probably not. Second of my two pack. It's okay to pull for it, Mike. What would God say about you right now?
We're all messed up.
Oh. Dwayne Haskins is going to make his first career start in Buffalo. So the Dwayne Haskins era is underway. Bill Callahan said today that he's the starter this week. Case Keenum hasn't been cleared from a concussion. And so Dwayne Haskins, start to finish, the show is yours against a really good defense to open your career. Good luck to you, Dwayne.
Wow, yeah, that's going to be a tough introduction. And You know, maybe the organization will have it go so bad for him, they'll be in the market for another quarterback. I don't know. Dwayne Haskins was one of the guys that I thought had it together pretty good despite having limited experience in college.
And I think it's hard to figure out in a half season what a quarterback's career is going to look like. But in Washington, I think there's pressure to try to make a decision in 8 weeks because you could very well be a 2 or 3 win football team and you could very well be looking at picking another guy. So it makes all the sense in the world to not have anyone else start for him. Dwayne Haskins, this is your half season.
Yeah.
And you don't want to make snap judgments on it, especially on a bad team. But they're going to be pressured to do that because you've got an opportunity to grab another guy if you don't like it.
Okay, Around the NFL is brought to you by Windstar World Casino and Resort. Here's Mike Bassick with Second Down. I see you watching that Masvidal fight on the big screen there. Used to be a backyard brawler.
Yeah, I don't know much about that stuff, but it is interesting when it is on TV to watch two really big guys want to throw punches at each other with no gloves.
It's going to be an awesome fight tomorrow, bro.
Yeah, it's amazing how those really good fighters are so calm, and they're getting hit in the face, but it's like, I mean, you know, everybody else who doesn't have the fighting experience would be in a mode of full-blown panic or completely knocked out.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, I'm just fighting this guy here. Like we're trying to work around the key to try to find a lane to drive
it's
the
like
hoop.
Cat and Joel and Embiid. Those guys are both 7 feet and 250-something pounds, and they both like – I know they didn't want to throw punches to get big suspensions, but, I mean, you watch them, and they're just like –
yeah,
hugging each other, going to the ground, and you watch those guys like, man, they're throwing real punches at each other and stuff.
Yeah, pretty slick there. Okay, what do you got second down?
Well, a game has been pulled off of the Vegas books right now, and we couldn't bet on it earlier, and it is because Patrick Mahomes is now questionable for Sunday's game. Now, Andy Reid would not take questions about Mahomes' availability. All he said is, I'm going to let the injury report speak for itself. And he said that he did good in practice this week. So there is a chance.
How much would he move a line?
Well, it was. Here's the line before this news came out. Vikings were favored by 2 at Kansas City.
So they were assuming he was out.
They're assuming he was out. But now that it's to questionable and he did good.
If he's in, are they a 6-point favorite?
I would say 4.5.
So a 6.5-point swing, give or take?
But if he was 100% healthy, I think you're right. I just think that Vegas would look at it and go, all right, we're reopening this at probably like Kansas City -3, and let's see where the money goes quickly on where we need to move it. But, yeah, Andy Reid, it's just one of those things where they're also saying in this article, it's NFL.com, that like it makes Minnesota have to kind of deal with two different type of quarterbacks that they would have to go against, one being the MVP, one being not that great.
I think you just get ready for Pat Mahomes, and if it's Matt Moore, you go, woohoo!
Yeah.
Say, oh, no, we didn't plan for him.
Yeah, that game is really interesting, though, and what Mahomes is going to do. If I'm him, I'm chilling right now. You know, let's just wait this bad boy out one more week and make sure I'm healthy. We're not catching New England.
And it does say in this article, too, Minnesota could have a really nice offensive game no matter what, because 3 starting defenders are also questionable. Frank Clark, Kendall Fuller, and Chris Jones might not play Sunday versus the Vikings.
Okay, I have some 49ers news here on third down, and then I have a question for you about the 2 remaining unbeaten teams. First of all, the news, their linebacker, Quan Alexander, is out for the season with a torn pec. He's 25 years old. He joined the 49ers in the offseason with 4 years and $54 million. So he is an incredible player. He did miss 10 games last year for Tampa with a torn ACL. So now he's gone back-to-back seasons. That does not look good.
No.
If I'm a fan right now, I'm in a full-blown panic about how injury-prone my star linebacker is, and he is very, very good. But he is going to be out, obviously, for the rest of the season. And now in his place comes Dre Greenlaw, a fifth-round rookie.
Arkansas.
Out of Arkansas.
He's another guy that was on the Cowboys 30 list.
Is that right?
That's 2 random late-round linebackers that were on their visit list in the last 2 days of news.
So Quan tweeted something, which is cool. He's got the Twitter account, @Quan, just K-W-O-N.
That's pretty cool. Nice.
Says, I'm built for this. It's all part of the game. I sacrifice everything when I step in between the white lines, and I'm going to be legendary. Everything happens for a reason. I'll be back.
I'm going to be legendary?
Yeah.
I like that. I like the confidence.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what comes with having the one-name Twitter handle.
Or some
sort of confidence.
And a dance after your name. There's a dance called the Quan.
Okay.
Hit the Quan. How about it?
Sure. Pretty good. How's that one go?
I'm not going to do it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, then, so my question for you here is...
You did a part of it. A little bit.
Yeah, I can Millie Rock. That's about it, bro.
Okay.
Strong predictions here for the undefeated teams. Does anything have anybody have something now? The 49ers in their remaining games, they do have the Seahawks twice, the Packers, the Ravens,
going undefeated, if the you're Saints.
No, how many do you think they'll lose? I think they'll lose probably three games here in the second half of the season.
I would put my number on 3-2. 13-3 is a heck of a season.
Holy cow, their schedule. Yeah. Did you go through the whole thing?
Yeah, just the tough ones. Yeah. Saints, Rams, Seahawks twice, Packers, Ravens.
Yeah.
We're going to find a lot out about this team.
Yeah, here's Niners in order. Seahawks, Cardinals, who's not a pushover, Packers, Ravens, Saints, Falcons, Rams, Seahawks. Holy cow. It's a good thing there ain't no.
They have one gimme in the Falcons.
Yeah. A mostly gimme.
Falcons are, they've quit.
A mostly gimme.
They've quit on that coach. Unless they fire the coach.
Can I get 10-1 on the Falcon 49er game in 2 months?
Hey, you know what? If they make this run through this schedule, they'll easily be the NFC favorite. I mean, if you could just go 6-2 through that schedule, I think it'd be enough by the time they get to the end of the line. I don't know.
I think they'll be 12-4.
Okay, Patriots, will they go undefeated? They have some tough games, too. Baltimore, then the Eagles. And then this game is in Maryland, by the way, coming up this week. And then the Eagles and Cowboys, the Texans in Houston, and the Chiefs up there in New England.
I'll say they lose one.
If they win Sunday, I'll pick them to go undefeated. If they beat the Ravens, then I think that they're going to go undefeated.
How do you guys think Belichick's going to do against Lamar? He has had back-to-back games now with 100 yards rushing. New England has struggled all year with mobile quarterbacks. Is this the kryptonite for Belichick?
I want Lamar to do really well. That's why I didn't want to take the Ravens. The reason that we all wanted to bet Patriots with a 3-point spread is because I think we all have a similar feeling that when he goes into this game and knows their number one offensive weapon is Lamar Jackson, that Bill Belichick's the best in the world at figuring out how to stop your best weapon. So I'm worried for my guy Lamar. I want him to do well.
I'll tell you what,
I don't think he will.
Credit to Lamar Jackson, though. Going into the season, what a big storyline it would be. Could he carry that 6-1 regular season record and improve on that? Or was he going to be like that guy we saw in the playoff game that looked like a lost high school quarterback out there? And he's been great.
Okay, we'll hit the 5 o'clock hour here. Babe Laufenberg's coming up at 5:20. We'll preview the Mavs game. Major League Baseball free agency is underway and more next in the Nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.